Good morning. I'm Bob McElroy. I teach the Old Testament survey class here on Thursday nights as part of the new school of ministry. I grew up being pulled by two worlds. My mother was a very strong Christian, and my dad was a very strong person of the world. Anytime the church doors were open, I was there with my mother. But when the church doors were not open, I was in the world with my father. As a kid, in church, I heard all the stories and memorized lots of verses. Well, two to be exact. John 3:16 and John 11:35. Jesus wept. It's probably something I did. It was called religion. It was what good people did on Sunday mornings. After high school, I left home. I hung out around UTEP for a while, got married, got a job. But I still lived in the world during the week, doing worldly things with my friends. But every second or third Sunday, I would find a church to attend. I'd even try to get there early enough to get a back seat. When I was about 27, I was going through a really difficult time in my life and a very painful divorce. During the time, my best friend was hit by a drunk driver right out here on McNutt Road. He was a surveyor and working. I remember it was 9:30 in the morning. The car was going so fast it knocked him completely out of his boots. At his funeral service, as the preacher talked, my thoughts were on my friend. I knew the fancy box in front of the funeral home had his body in it, but I knew he wasn't there. It was a wake-up call. We really weren't indestructible after all. I wondered where my friend was, what he was experiencing. Was he before God? Was God talking to him? Was he talking to God? Then I thought to myself, what if it had been me? What will I have when I'm in the fancy box in front of the funeral home? What will God say to me? What will I say to God? Imagining what I'd say, I decided it'd probably be a good idea if I could at least say, "Hey, I read your book." So I went home and pulled my Bible from the shelf and wiped off the dust and cobwebs. Then I started to read. I didn't read it straight through Genesis to Revelation, but instead I would pick out a book, read it, and take a highlighter and mark it off the list of books on the content page. Then I'd choose another book, read it, and mark it off. My plan was to read the Bible completely, every word. Then when I finished, I could put it back on the shelf where I could go back to collecting dust and cobwebs, and I could get back to the important things of life in the world. Well, as time passed, I began to notice something. Every day I'd make it a point to open the Bible and read. And every time I did, whatever problem, issue, trial, or concern I was going through, in God's Word I'd find comfort, wisdom, answers, and guidance. What started out to be a self-appointed task was becoming a pleasure, something I looked forward to daily. It was an amazing journey to find God, but what I discovered was it wasn't God that was lost. It didn't take too long, perhaps 6 or 8 months, and then every book on the content page was highlighted in yellow, and I had marked them off one at a time. Up until this time in my life, I had been a professional fence sitter. I was like a pendulum or a metronome, leaning left, right, left, right, between two fields of grass. God would be on one side and the world on the other. When I'd lean towards God's side for a while, the grass on the world side would start looking greener. So I'd lean to the world side and then for a while, and then the grass on God's side would start looking greener. 27 years I'd gone back and forth, God, world, God, world, God. But now something had changed. The time I had been spending in God's Word had been watering God's side of the fence unfairly. His words, the living water, the water from the rock, had turned the grass on God's side into a beautiful, lush garden, and I began to spend more and more time on His side of the fence. Slowly, step by step, I climbed down off the fence onto His side, into His beautiful garden that I had discovered in His Word. The religion of my youth had now become my relationship with my Creator. Everyone has heard the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Perhaps it should be replaced by, the grass is always greener where you water it. Many Christians are able to give an exact date, a year, a month, a day, maybe even an hour of when they were saved. Not me. God saved me one book, one chapter, one verse, one jot, one tittle at a time over a period of several years. Sure, on occasion, perhaps more than I'd like to admit, I take a look over the fence, but all I see is dried up dead grass on the other side. It has been nearly 28 years since that day long ago in the funeral home with my friend, and I still have not put the Bible back on the shelf. But in its place on the shelf are all the old things of the world, collecting dust and cobwebs. This is my story.
My name is Margaret Valenzuela, and I'm the church's secretary, and this is my story. I grew up in a Christian home, gave my life to the Lord at the age of 10, and although I had made the decision to follow Christ, I can't say I did everything he required of me. And as a teenager and into my early 20s, I made a mess of it. I came back to the Lord in my late 20s, got married, and decided to live for Christ and to raise our children in a Christian home. I thought I knew the Lord. What else is there to know? I know who he is, so I thought. But my defining moment came when I was 39 years old. On May 10, 2010, I drove myself to the doctor's office to find out the results for a biopsy done on my right breast the week before. I had convinced myself that the diagnosis was negative, the tumor was benign, and I would thank the good doctor and get on with the busy day that waited ahead for me. But when I saw the look in my doctor's eyes, I knew it wasn't good news. "You have cancer," were the words I heard as they trickled out of her mouth, almost in slow motion. And although it was devastating news, it was also an opportunity for the Lord to use as a trial to strengthen my faith. My response to the Lord was not, "Why me, Lord?" because I knew I was about to embark on a journey I would never forget. I told the Lord that day, "Lord, I know most people pray for healing, but if you're going to heal me miraculously, and I'm not going to be a blessing to anyone, don't heal me. Let me go through this as long as you promise you will be with me every step of the way. This is a big one, Lord, and we must use it for your glory." I underwent a mastectomy, 16 lymph nodes removed under my right arm, 1 year of chemotherapy. I had a total of 4 reconstruction surgeries. I lost my hair, my eyebrows, eyelashes, 40 pounds, and my physical strength. In a way, I understood what Paul meant in Philippians 3:8. "Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I gain Christ when I put my heart, my soul, my mind, and my body completely in his hands. I trusted him with all that I was and with all that I hoped to become after everything was said and done. I saw it as a wonderful opportunity to grow in Christ and to trust him more, for my Father in heaven was standing there, ready to meet me in my darkest hour. He longed to wrap his loving arms around me, to comfort me and to give me strength, hope, and a future. I buried my face in those loving arms, with tears streaming down my face, and I found myself deeply and utterly loved by him. In there I found joy. Joy to serve him unselfishly. What an honor this was for me. Joy to be a living sacrifice for others to see the immense love he has for them. James 1, 2, and 3 say, "Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Besides taking time off for the surgeries, I work full time. Thankfully, I have been blessed to work for my church. My husband, 2 boys, and beautiful daughter had been tremendously strong for me, along with our incredible network of church family and friends. The Lord demonstrated his love towards us by surrounding us with friends and family who loved us through it all unconditionally. And now I am just a vessel used for his glory, full to the rim with his loving kindness. God is who he says he is. He is strength, peace, joy, comfort, love, and hope. I thought I knew him before my diagnosis. I had heard of him through my parents and pastors, but I also understood what Job meant when he said in Job 42:5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I have truly seen the God who sees me. He has walked with me, led me every step of the way, especially in the storms of my life. I praise him for his sufficiency in my life and for his love that never fails. I praise him because I have learned how to stand firm in the storms ahead and grasp the lesson each storm holds. I praise him because he is more interested in building my character than in my comforts. I want to please him, for he has changed my comfortable heart to an obedient heart, a heart that is always ready to praise him no matter what. And right now, your Father stands ready to meet you in your darkest hour. He longs to wrap his arms around you until the winds die down and the waves are stilled. Trust him. Celebrate the storm that dashed your battered life on the shores of his unyielding love, and let him give you the strength to stand firm.
Good morning, church. My name is Keon Sultani, and this is my story. I grew up in Southern California, and as most of you know, Southern California is a gang culture. And I learned at a very early age how to effectively employ violence in my life. And I lived outside of the bounds of the law, and I lived outside of the bounds of conventional society. I was very much the epitome of being antisocial. My path led me to jails and institutions and was quickly leading me to death. From the age of 12 years old to 20 years old, I was an intravenous drug user. I shot heroin and speed. I rode motorcycles, and I carried firearms. And I had no tools for life. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to function. I didn't know how to have relationships. I was completely ignorant to all of these things. I'm happy to say that I haven't stuck a needle in my arm since August 7th of 1998. But that's not the end of the story. I became a Christian in 2005, and God radically saved me, pulled me out of that lifestyle. And it was a long process of, you know, reading the Bible, going to Bible studies, coming to church, mingling with you fine people. And I didn't know how to have relationships with you people. You people were very strange to me. I didn't really want what you had to offer. I just know that I really didn't want what I had anymore. And I ended up becoming a missionary. And from 2005 to 2009, I spent, you know, on every major continent in the world. And I came back to the States and got a job at the church, and, you know, everything was falling into place, and I was seeing a pastoral calling and all of these things that I really wanted. But it was all, as Bob alluded to earlier, religion. I was trying to project this persona of Mr. Spiritual, and I do nothing wrong anymore, and I became quickly judgmental. I became not a very nice person to hang around. And after a couple years of this, and going to Bible college and going to school of ministry and all of these things, I got really discontented with the church, and I left. I joined the army. I was in the army for a couple years, and I thought that would fix me. And then I experienced the graciousness of God. Which is his breaking. God breaks us because he loves us. I was injured in the army, and then later I was discharged. My wife at the time had committed adultery and had taken the kids to California, and I was left with nothing here in the middle of El Paso. And I'm from Southern California, and there's no ocean in El Paso, so I really didn't know what to do with myself here. And I crawled back to God when he took everything from me. And it was in that period that I came to this church, and God fully restored my life. He fully restored the calling of God upon my life. And, you know, when I consider the Bible, Peter is the character in the Bible that I think I most identify with. He's the guy that spoke up when he should have shut up. He's the guy that, you know, acted when he should have just been still. He was the one that told Jesus, well, you know, I'll go with you, you know, even to death. And it's like a couple hours later, a teenage girl, you know, caused him to deny the Lord. And what I love about Peter and what I love about the Bible is the incredible humanness of it. I love how Peter, even after Pentecost in Galatians, was still carried away from the true faith and was taken in hypocrisy. And Peter later says in his letters, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, he says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. And I love that. I love that the Bible says that. To us who believe Jesus, he is precious. I figured out that the gospel was a gospel not for performance, not for what I'm doing or what I'm not doing, not for who I am from one day to the next. I know this, and this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that on the day that Jesus was crucified, God the Father treated Jesus as though he had been living your life. So that today, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, he treats you as though you had been living Christ's life, perfect at every stage. And that's the gospel, and that's my story.
Good morning. My name is Kim Gray, and for those of you who don't know me, yes, I am Pastor Terry's wife. And this is my story. 38 years ago, Jesus Christ rescued me before I even knew I needed to be rescued. At the age of 5, laying under a church pew during an evening service, I became acutely aware of my desperate need for the Lord. And that does make me 43, for those of you who are doing the math. Only grace could rescue me at the age of 5. I was a 5-year-old. I had nothing to offer him. Only Christ could give me the hope and the security that I would soon long for. God, in his great wisdom, knew how desperately I was going to need him in the years ahead. In 1971, I was born to a 16-year-old mother and a 17-year-old father, two teenagers just trying to make things work. But by the time I was 5, my parents were done trying. As my dad left us, my mom allowed disappointment to take over her life. My dad quickly remarried and moved from northern Colorado to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And my mom began to drink and party regularly. She would leave me alone or with my aunt. I had a sweet aunt who would lovingly take care of me and watch me anytime my mom called on her. Quickly, though, alcohol, drugs, and men took over my mom's life. And around the age of 8, I can remember a time waking up in a place in the middle of the night, not knowing where I was and not able to find anybody in this house. So I crawled back into a strange bed and thought sleep was the safest option. By the time I entered middle school, I knew I liked my mom better stoned than sober. There were several nights I would be the last kid at the roller rink, and I'd have to call and hope she would wake up to answer the phone and come and pick me up. In middle school, there was also a pornography ring that was right across the street from my house, and they would regularly call and harass me when they knew I was alone. We moved so much while I was growing up that I went to 3 different elementary schools, 3 different middle schools, and 3 different high schools. In 1989, just after I had graduated from high school, I came home one day to find all of our furniture and belongings had been sold. We literally lost everything we owned. And at 17, when I thought life should be looking up with great potential, I found myself homeless. The future didn't look very bright at that time. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved me, made me alive together with Christ. By grace, I have been saved through faith and not of myself. It was the gift of God to me. Yes, I look back and I do see a very difficult childhood, one that I would never want to repeat. And yet, I am a sinner. I am in need of God's great mercy. Today, I can still clearly remember my first encounter with Christ. I can recall how desperately I needed him, and I wanted him to be my Savior that night under the pew. And even though my childhood was bleak, Christ was with me every step of the way. He always protected me. He allowed no evil to harm me. And even in being homeless for over a year, he was always with me and miraculously provided what I needed. I didn't grow up going to church or reading the Bible, but each night, alone in my bed, starting at the age of 5, I always talked to him. I was his daughter, and he had chosen to meet with me and to be in my childish simplicity. I look back now and see him keeping me, protecting me, and guiding me, even through horrible situations. We began going to church when I was in high school, and at the end of my junior year, a girl in college began discipling me. And she gave me the greatest gift. She encouraged me to read my Bible. I devoured my Bible that year. I marked it up. I journaled about everything I had learned. And I saw how God had changed my life. I got plugged into a thriving group of Christians, and I began serving Christ in my church and in my community. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And as a junior in high school, I chose to allow Christ to have my life. I already belonged to him, but I made the conscious effort to be his workmanship, to walk in the good things that he had prepared before me, before I was even born. I am sincerely amazed by what Christ has done in my life and where he has brought me. He took my life that could have been very destructive, and he graciously gave me beauty for ashes.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Miller, and usher and greeter, as a lot of you know. This is my story. I grew up in a very, very rough childhood, sexually abused by my first dad and my first stepdad. And by the time I was 9, my mom decided that she was going to remarry again, and I just couldn't handle that. So I was thrown away. I was put in a boys' home for 3 years. I came out at 12 years old and absolutely angry, and started smoking marijuana, thinking that that was a way to kind of escape. And the 3 years I was at home were very rough again. And by the time I was at 15, I was living on the streets. I ended up in Miami. I don't know how I ended up there, but I ended up in Miami. And I was introduced to cocaine and heroin, and I found my escape. I thought that was it. This is how I get away from all this. But it got extremely dangerous and extremely hard. And at 18 years old, I ended up in a drug program called the Freedom House, and I actually quit. So, but from the time I was 18 to now, I have not touched again. I praise God for that. By the time I was 19, I decided I was going to try to join the military, which didn't work out. I was still wild. I was still ungrounded. And I basically, through AWOL and everything else, I was kicked out. At the age of 21, I made a horrible mistake in my life. And I ended up in prison for 22 months. While in prison, a gentleman who was in for first-degree murder told me about Christ. And I thought about it, and through him, I got on my knees, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And even in prison, he set me free. I was free. I felt all the burden come off. Miracles were happening. I was in the Word. Everything was going beautiful, I thought. At 23 years old, I got out. And when I got out, I was in the world again. And I thought that I was strong. And I ended up fading away, and I walked away. I walked away for 25 years. In that 25 years, a huge roller coaster started. I lost my first son to pneumonia at 4 years old. But then I gained two beautiful children. But then I was divorced and then remarried. I was close to death twice. There's no reason for me to be living at this point, I thought. And somehow he pulled me through. I didn't know this at the time. And by the time that when I came back 25 years later, I found myself in a hotel room in Reno, all by myself, alone. And I hit my face. I fell down on my face, and I asked God to come back into my life and come back into my heart. Problem was, though, is for 25 years I walked, and I just couldn't understand how could he take me back. And I couldn't get that. I was trying, and I was going back and forth, and the guilt and the shame, it was absolutely horrible. Somehow, some way, God brought me to El Paso. I still think about it today, and I'm like, I don't know how he brought me here, how I got here, but he put me here. And my wife and I started coming to Calvary Chapel. I set up a meeting with Pastor Terry, and we spoke about grace. We spoke about the Lord. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit just come upon me, and it was like, it's time to grow. And it has been an absolute blessing. It's been like this being in the fast lane of a freeway. It's just been going incredible. He holds me. He takes care of me. He's always there for me. I look back at that 25 years, and I'm like, he had me the whole time. He had me through the ups. He had me through the downs. You know, in Ephesians 1:4, he says, I chose you before the foundation of the earth. And I truly believe that. I was chosen before the foundation of this earth. It's the only way I could have possibly made it through. And the verse that really gets me to this day is Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I truly claim that, and I truly believe that. That is 100% true. I'm here today because of him. He is my Lord, my Savior. I could ask for nothing better in this life than to be his child. Love him and always, always accept him. Follow him and listen. This is my story.
We kind of went through how we would do this communion service a couple days ago, and we just thought it'd be great if we had some people share their story, and then we thought, wouldn't it be neat if we just put that story, just clip it to the cross? Because that's where lives become brand new. That's where the story begins. Encountering Jesus Christ at the cross. You heard it in every one of their stories. There was a time where they met Jesus, and Jesus lifted them out of whatever despair, whatever issues were going on in their life. And I know there's many, many people sitting around here this morning who could come up and share your story, and you could clip it to the cross. And you know, that's what we do at the communion table. You remember your story. You remember what Jesus did for you that day that you met Jesus. New life begins when you first understand what Jesus did for you at the cross. How the Bible teaches we are sinners, we make such messes of our life. We sink in pits, and how the sin that in our life that destroys our life separates us from God. But how God in his mercy and grace and love sent his only begotten Son to take our sins upon him. He paid the price. He rose again that third day, and he's alive. And the scripture says if you give your life to him, all things can become brand new. Maybe you're here this morning and you can relate with having a horrible childhood, having a time in your life where you grew up, and maybe you've even been sort of holding that against God. Well, God can save you out of that. Did you hear? God can save you out of that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're dealing with a sickness, some kind of a physical sickness, and you're wondering, does God really love? Can God really help? Yes, God can help. God can even turn sickness into victory. Maybe you're struggling with drug addiction here this morning. A destructive alcoholic lifestyle. Something that you've just wondered, can I ever get out of this? Yes, you can get out of it, but you have to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him change you. Maybe you've been religious all your life, but you've never known Christ. I invite you to encounter the living Christ this morning. We partake of these elements because Jesus told us to remember his sacrifice for us this way. So we're going to pass these elements out, and that's a way for all of us Christians to remember, to proclaim, and to appreciate what Christ has done. Only believers should partake. Only if you have that relationship with Jesus should you partake. So I want you to have an opportunity to enter into that relationship with Jesus. I'm going to ask for us to turn the lights down. You bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to invite the worship team up, the guys who are going to be helping me distribute. What's your story? What's your story? Praise him for the story. Praise the Lord for saving your life. But maybe for some, the story has to begin right now. If you have never received Christ, if you've never encountered Jesus Christ, you can do so right now. He loves you like no one else can or will. He died for you. Your sins can be washed away. You can be given a brand new start right now. Pray this prayer with me. In the quietness of your heart, Lord Jesus, change my life. Save me the way you've saved others. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash all my sins away. Lord, take all my hurt, all my pain, the mess I've made. Give my life beauty for ashes. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And then, Father, I want to pray for all of us as we now distribute, Lord, that we would draw close to you, closer, closer to you. Lord, two things I heard, how important it was in Bible reading and spending time with you and how that changes people's lives. Lord, I pray that as your people, we would draw near to you every day. In your word, in prayer. We're going to distribute these elements. I ask that you hold them, and we'll all partake of them together, okay? your sacrifice, all things are made new. That you can take broken lives and make them beautiful. We thank you for salvation. We rejoice in your sacrifice. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. God is good. He changes lives forever, doesn't he? Would you pass your cups to the center? And we're going to turn the lights on, and I'm going to try to lead us in a last song here that I think fits. We have the words to this song. I think you'll recognize it. This is my story. This is my song. Let's stand, shall we? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.